I love our next guest, and I love the topic that we have for today. I'm very, very excited. I have a million questions, and he has a million answers, and we're ready to go. Our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, joins us this morning to discuss the ins and outs of dealing with the almighty hashtag on social media and really in life in general, I would say at this point. Jesse Feiler helps people and organizations get to know and use new technologies. Projects have included building the page catching module for the Prodigy web browser and for Mac in the very early days of the web, location-based apps for iPhone and iOS, as well as books and classes on new technology. The new book, iPad for Seniors for Dummies, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago and is a terrific addition to his library and can be a terrific addition to yours as well. Jesse, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Great to be here.
Okay, so let us just, for the people who may not know, what is a hashtag?
The best description I have of it is from a New York Times Magazine article by Julia Turner in 2012. And the first sentence is just the perfect answer to your question.
Okay.
The pound sign is a typographical symbol with ambitions.
Well, I like that. That's great. So it is the pound sign, which is sort of the number character.
It is what you might call the pound sign, except you have to be very careful because the pound sign in the UK is indeed the currency symbol.
Oh, that's true.
It's that tic-tac-toe board symbol.
Yes. Okay. And when did we start? Do you have a rough history as to, sure. Do you have a rough history as to when we started using hashtags, that they became part of our internet language, if you will?
I have, in fact, an absolute date, and I've have no idea where it is. I put a large number of links on ChamplainArts.com under Roundtable.
Yes.
And it's right on there.
Okay.
And sorry about that.
Well, no, that's all right.
Basically, what the pound sign or symbol or whatever you want to call it, it's been used for a long time, for decades, in programming, computer programming, and software, because when we're writing code, we write sort of English language syntax, saying, you know, host name equals Joe Donahue, and so things like that. And in doing that, the early developers of computer languages in the 50s needed to somehow insert symbols into the code that was not going to be code itself, that was not going to be interpreted by what we call the compiler. And the hashtag was one of the symbols that we used to say to the compiler, what follows this symbol is not part of the code.
Okay.
So don't interpret it that way.
All right.
And that's really how it wound up on Twitter and Facebook and so forth, because we type things into social media saying, you know, this is what I had for breakfast this morning, or this is what I would like to have for breakfast tomorrow morning because I'm tired of what I had this morning, you know.
All that.
All of the stuff that we do. And the hashtag or the symbol, the pound symbol, is used to take something and interpret it as something other than your dietary choices for breakfast.
Okay.
Such as hashtag boring, which says that the person who is writing this says, I know it's boring, but I like oatmeal for breakfast.
Okay.
Or with regard to certain other posts and so forth, common uses are things like hashtag sarcasm.
Okay.
Which is a very, very important thing to do, because even in face-to-face speech, we have lots of misinterpretations of things that are sarcasm. Last night, I actually participated in a presentation, and at one point, I gave in to a base instinct that I sometimes give into, which was I thought I could go for a laugh. And I should have known. I should have known yeah. better because it's... So I went for it. A, I did not get the laugh.
Which really?
Is, that's the real tragedy.
Yeah, that is the tragedy.
And I offended someone who was sitting about 4 feet in front of me and looking right at me.
Oh, they'll get over.
Which I did not intend to do.
Right.
So we in life, we need all, everything that we can have to help us to say, okay, we wink.
Yeah.
You know, we change the tone of voice. All of those things to say that what I'm about to say is not what I am saying literally. That's one of the major uses of hashtags today. The other use is to say that something that is not part of the discussion necessarily, but may identify the discussion. So if I'm writing my blog post about what I had for breakfast this morning, and if I'm saying, oh, I'm having the same thing I had for breakfast yesterday, if someone should be interested in searching out that blog post, Lord help them, I could tag it with something like hashtag oatmeal so that when you're searching on the web or within Twitter or within Facebook, you can say, I'm interested in finding out what people are saying about oatmeal. And they'll pick up things that are tagged with the hashtag oatmeal.
So, for example, and this will give you a little insight into my life. So if we're watching something on television, say it's the Grammys, the Oscars, the Tonys, and we're watching the telecast unfold and something stupid happens, like they read the wrong envelope, you can put hashtag Oscars. And then you get sort of into the feed with everybody else of looking at all of the feeds that people of what people are saying in regards to what is unfolding in front of you.
Or, yes, or if you want to say, sort of build this conversation of people who are using the hashtag Oscars.
Yes.
You also might, if you wanted to use it sort of in the descriptive way, not the identifying way of like Oscars, you could say hashtag not again.
Yes, hashtag not again. Or as it was the case last year when there was no. No nominees of color. It was Oscar so white.
Right.
That was the hashtag.
Right.
That people and that becomes almost a protest as well.
That becomes an alternative form of communication. You have the actual content itself, the blog or whatever it is. Then you have the comment on that, like Oscar so white or not again. And then you have the identification, which technically we would refer to as metadata, if you really want to be
okay.
highfalutin, which is a description or an identifier, much as libraries and catalogers sort books and topics so that you can so say that even though the word, the phrase race relations, I don't think appears anywhere in the novel Huckleberry Finn.
Yes.
But a cataloger in a library might use that as a cross-reference.
Okay.
So that's where a textual search will search the text, but the cataloging information and hashtags, when used as metadata, describe it.
You were nice enough to send me some bullet points and some questions, and one of them that you sent me, which I found interesting, because you ask, you know, what are the formats, and so I'm going to ask you that in a minute, but another part of that question is what are the rules, and that kind of shocked me because when I looked at it, I was like, are there rules? are there rules to hashtags? Are there hashtag rules?
No.
Okay.
But.
Yes.
Although there are no rules.
Right.
There is research.
Okay.
And there's a very good article from Facebook about Facebook and how Facebook uses hashtags. There's some research that's cited there, and it's on the website. And what they have found is that using hashtags in posts on Facebook in particular may decrease the readership of the posts. And using, there's a general feeling that using more than two or three hashtags in a character limited thing like a tweet,
right,
more than two or three turns people off.
I would say I know that it does with me because it's too much.
How do you get to what it is that someone is trying to say?
Right, and it's usually like hashtag lame, hashtag I'm cold, hashtag I like milkshakes. And you're like, oh, I don't know what any of this means.
Yeah, I mean, so overuse of hashtags is, based on research and common sense, is our own experiences. Is no good. And I think one of the things that people discover with it or sense, even if they don't think it through all the way, is that posts that are generated by automata or bots may be heavily laden with hashtags.
Right.
So it's not your great aunt Cecile sitting there typing out a tweet with a carefully considered hashtag. It's some a few lines of computer code, putting something together.
I just, at the risk of taking a slight diversion, but there was a great story on 60 Minutes this past weekend that Scott Pelley did on fake news. And in that did a whole discussion about bots and how they are used to propagate fake news on various sites like Twitter and Facebook. And if you go Google 60 Minutes fake news, it'll come right up and you can watch it. But it's really interesting of how that, we'll take the time here to describe it, but it's really interesting of how those bots work.
It's fascinating, and they can be very useful. I mean, they're the same things.
Sure.
But it's like anything can be used for good or evil.
Yes.
As I tell my dog on frequent occasions.
On frequent occasions, the dog gets it. Okay, so then when it comes to formats, so the format would be fairly simple. It's the hashtag, and then all one word.
There are no spaces allowed.
Right,
and basically it's letters and numbers. This is one of the things that goes back to that thing in the 1950s when we needed. They're similar to what we call escape characters. We needed characters that could be produced on the standard keyboard that most people were using that were not part of the syntax. And things like a plus sign and a minus sign and indeed parentheses are part of computer code syntax. So we needed something that was available on the keyboard and that wasn't part of syntax, and it turned into be the pound sign, for some uses, the ampersand, and that's about it.
Now, as we are talking, Jesse, people are tweeting, and I see that we have. So, wonder if anyone at WAMC Radio is even online during their at Josie Donahue show about hashtag irony. And there's another one that says listening to an amusing WAMC Radio show on hashtag world's worst hashtags. At Josie Donahue. How do you explain that?
Well, since you brought up the list, and I'm giving away our secrets,
yes.
The email that I sent you last night of things we might talk about today,
yes.
If you look at it, and people can imagine, it's a bulleted list of some topics.
Yeah.
And I think it's the last item on that list.
How are hashtags like a wink and a nod?
No.
No? here you go.
The last item on the list is the line just following that.
All right. Oh, anything else?
Hashtag anything
else. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Hashtag anything else. Right. Question mark. Yeah. So.
Hashtag addicting.
Well, so they can be snarky, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Why not? I mean, it's just I think the major uses are the traditional metadata use of saying this is what I'm talking about here so that people can search for it and find it.
Jesse Feiler is our guest. He's our tech guru, and we're talking about hashtags this morning, and we welcome your comments. If you want to tweet us, it's people are doing it, so it's fine. It's at Joe C. Donahue, and I'll see it right as it comes over. But the interesting thing here is that when you look at this question of do they work? So if I want to, you use this idea when you were talking about cataloging. It's sort of like if you look at a book and what you would see in a card catalog, where you would have the other subjects of the mm-hmm. book, right? And so in some ways it's exactly like that. So it would be like, I still have the Casey Stengel book from earlier. So it would be Baseball Managers, United States Biography, New York Yankees. So these are all the different things that it would be that you could subcategorize. So is, when we think about that, do they work in that sense?
Well, it's, what do you mean by work?
Well, meaning that if I put a hashtag like the user who just sent the hashtag and said hashtag irony. So
that's descriptive.
That's descriptive. So obviously I'm not going to like click and look at other tweets on irony.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the descriptive ones, the self-referential ones, the irony or sarcasm or not again, I would say, those are all the descriptive ones. The ones that are being used to identify the content, to expand on the content and make it easier for people to find the content, which is like the cross-references in the book.
Yes.
That's a different use of them. The uses overlap a little, but sometimes you're using it as sort of a gloss on what's being written, and other times you're using it as the cataloging information. The difference between this, the hashtags as cataloging information or metadata, and what's in the book is that in the book, what you're looking at are categories that are known.
Right.
You can make up your own hashtag category.
Well, you make this point, which is that there is no centralized control. There is no, this is back to the rules question, but there's no overlord here. There's no one overseeing this, right?
Right.
It's all on you. And if you're going to spell, if you're going to spell irony, then you have to make sure you spell it right.
Or not,
if that's what you're trying to get
out. But it also means, because there's no central registry, that if a hashtag catches on and you see Twitter and other social media sites are listing trending hashtags, so you can see what people are using. So a hashtag that may show up on the trending list, there was one a few days ago when I was looking at this to see what we might talk about. There's one, BCCCONF17.
All right.
That made it onto the trending list.
What is that?
The British Chamber of Commerce 2017 conference.
Okay.
Which is a perfectly logical hashtag for that conference. It might have been trending because maybe it was happening at that point. And a year from now, it may still be there, or it may be used for something else entirely. Many years ago, I was at a wonderful conference with a session on social media for social good, right at the beginning of social media. And one of the participants said one of the first things he did when he set up a conference or some event for a nonprofit was to send out the invitations and put the hashtag on the invitations so that people who are blogging about it, writing about, doing anything from before they've even registered for the conference, see what the hashtag is so that they can use it when they're saying anything about the conference. Like, does anyone know of a good cheap hotel at the
right.
BCCC1F?
So I'm on Twitter right now, and so some of the trends are hashtag Tuesday Thought with 29,000 tweets. And then you go down.
A lot of thinking.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of thinking. You're absolutely right. 5,000 tweets, hashtag on my drive to work. I would think that would be a daily thing, right?
Right. Monday dangerous if you get distracted.
That's right. Don't do that. Coming in at 2,000 tweets, hashtag people you hate.
Okay. Are there no current event ones?
Spider-Man Homecoming.
I don't.
And there's the WWC Summit 17, mm-hmm. which I don't know what that is.
It's not WWDC Summit?
No, it's WWC17.
Mm.
It's... I don't
whatever.
Know.
But usually...
Data-driven government? I don't know. Okay.
But
nothing. Yeah.
Depending, because this is real time.
It's not wrestling, which is what I initially thought it was.
Oh. This is real time.
Yes.
It's a way of going, this is one of the things that I think is wonderful about how the internet has evolved, going from millions and millions and millions of people being on the internet in various forms, in social media or however they're doing it, and going from those millions and millions of people at in real time and being able to hone in on a subset of people who are driving to work or who are commenting on something that is happening. I'm surprised there are no political ones on there.
And then there's people who trend, obviously. So
Jared Kushner isn't on there?
Bill O'Reilly is on there. Sally Yates is on there.
Kushner was on yesterday.
Yeah.
Briefly. I mean, things...
They change. Like that.
This is real time.
Now, Jerry wrote to us through Twitter and said, so what does the reader do with the hashtag? Are you supposed to or should you click on it?
Many tools like Twitter will turn them automatically into links, and you can see the other people who are... using the hashtag on my drive to work to see what else they're saying. So and this is all automated.
Yeah.
But it means that it's a way of navigating through all of the things that are happening there. So you see it, in fact, on some of now that the TV stations are, the broadcasters are using the wider screens that we have now. You'll see in real-time events like sports, elections and so forth, at the side of the screen, there will often be a section outside of the main picture which is picking up tweets with hashtags as things are happening. So in the extra space that they have beyond the traditional video screen, at the side, in the new wider format, they can have these additional things. So you see things as they're happening.
And this is how you go down the rabbit hole, right? I mean, because you look over and you don't think about this, but you are, I would say, as I look at this right now, I want to click on hashtag other uses for a hot tub. Now, I don't know. I don't know why. And I'm really sure I'm not going to find out anything useful in that. But I'm curious.
Well, click.
I don't know. I don't know what other uses. Oh, okay. A lot of cats. A lot of cat pictures. Yeah.
I don't know how the internet became this collection of cat pictures, but
that's all right.
I like cats, but the internet is good for other things besides cat pictures.
and we also have been getting. We'll end here, but. We were talking about activism, but people are certainly using it for activism.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Well.
It's a way of
crowdsourcing,
getting ad hoc groups together.
Yeah. Well, that was good. We should do this more. I like the interactive way of this, checking it. I'm still paying attention to you, too. Don't worry.
Oh, that's okay.
Jesse Feiler provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. His website is champlainarts.com. And if you go to that website, all of the links, and if you want to read much more about hashtags, you can go there.
A great deal more.
/ anything else, ? ChamplainArts.com. Jesse Feiler, you are always great, and I thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.